All right. Welcome back, friends and listeners, for another episode of Mattathias Reads the World. Our episode today, we're reporting to you live from the midst of a global public health crisis. And I have here with me today a noted expert in public health, Dr. Madison Beckstrand. Is that all right if I call you doctor?
Oh, please, by all means. Worked hard for it. Might as well use it.
Yeah. So, doctor, could you explain how you became an expert in this particular malady that we're going to discuss today?
Absolutely. It happened very much from the beginning, a noticing of just the smaller symptoms in people before it kind of mutated into what it was. And by then, me and a few colleagues were all very interested in just how it was the patients themselves and the people around them. So had to get on board and work to see just what and where this was going.
Yeah, and now it's very clear that the disease that you've diagnosed, it's causing massive, widespread destruction globally. I think it's clearly got absolutely worldwide transmission, and we still don't know exactly how quickly it can spread from person to person or how it's doing so. So it's something that listeners, please be worried about outbreaks of this in your own community. We're speaking, of course, about the doctor's area of expertise, main character syndrome. Let's cut to her diagnostic record.
I think we all suffer very much from main character syndrome, where you so badly want to be the chosen one. You want to be the last of your kind, the first to take that step.
Yeah.
But you also are tired.
Yep.
and realistic. Yeah. And the world is very good, if not at one thing, then definitely of breaking you down with realism and sorrow.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're all victims of it. It's no, I mean, founding fathers were victims of it.
Yeah.
We're currently victims of it.
Yeah.
We all want to be the coolest guy around, but we're not.
So there you diagnosed the condition, doctor, noting this is something that has been around for a long time, right? America's founding fathers had likely mostly terminal cases, and it spread from there. We don't know if that was the initial outbreak, but it's clear that this main character syndrome is devastating. Devastating. So can you describe a little bit first, how did you initially come to diagnose this disease?
Well, actually, it's very interesting because I first saw the symptoms in myself. And luckily I've able to kind of get out ahead of it and slow the spread for sure.
Okay.
But it begins with kind of that very heavy sense that you are meant for more than your current situation. And although that may have a positive ramification of, you know, you gather strength and you try to improve your situation, it also has the possibility of allowing the victim to wait for something big to happen to them. And it's in that waiting that the danger kind of starts settling in, because you're expecting the world to revolve around you instead of you to get up and meet the world head on. So it very much was a personal realization that was like, oh, hey, wait a second. This can't be normal. I'm not the end all be all of the world.
Huh. So you're a recovery case. You're a patient in remission.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And, wow.
It's very easily, there is no kind of resting period after you catch it. So you do have to be very careful and aware of yourself. But it is very easy to live with and to keep in order and in check.
Okay. I had heard it was completely terminal for all patients.
Well, and you do see a lot of those cases, especially among the younger generation as they eat and kind of consume a lot of media that frames this disease as a positive. And you will see that affects how people approach the stigma of main character syndrome and a lot of the danger that comes with it. We need to kind of have a more spread out approach of, hey, this isn't a positive thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the seriousness of the disease and the damage it causes, you're thinking that's related to media portrayals that glorify the symptoms and underrate the dangerous effects.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. So, and I've been studying your work on this syndrome for some time now, but one of the things that I haven't really wrapped my own mind around, doctor, is how do you think this syndrome spreads from individual to individual, right? It's clear that there are victims all over the world, but is this something that's airborne? How is it transmitted?
So we originally thought it was genetically transmitted. A parent who has an overblown sense of self then passes that sense of self down to their child. However, we're now finding that it's more auditorily transmitted as people hear praise upon themselves. And then that kind of overinflates and increases the heart rate as they react to that praise and kind of get a bigger head from it.
So it's not transmitted through the air, but it's transmitted sonically.
It's very unique in that way, and we're having a very rough time getting out ahead of that.
Okay.
Because the ears are, of course, a very important part of the body and needs to be respected and used in day-to-day life, but it's more of a being a discerning listener.
So you're saying that this could be transmitted over the radio, over the phone. Can it be transmitted visually in any ways?
Absolutely. We find that you can find it through visually as well, in the aspect of like I said, consuming media, especially through, say, the more popular Instagram or through Facebook. We find is also a very dangerous place where you can kind of throw out that text voice and feel as if everyone's listening just to you.
Interesting. And so what are the key symptoms? As we discussed, You've raised a lot of concerns about that there is this global epidemic of main character syndrome, but our testing resources are massively strapped worldwide. There's not a clear, easy test that people can take to see if they've contracted this. But what can people use and doctors and other medical specialists use in order to diagnose this effectively in themselves and in those they work with?
Well, and that it's funny because the joke in the medical community is that you know it when you see it, right? It's always very much easier to see it in someone else than it is to see it in yourself. But we do have a couple of easy questions you can ask yourself that will help you be able to kind of self-diagnose and get on top of the disease before it starts spreading. Some of the questions are, am I more important than those around me? Is it fair that someone around me has accomplished something that I have not? And a lot of the reactions to these questions, if an oversense of jealousy or questioning of why good things happen to other people, that's a very good opening sign of, hey, you may need to get in. You have main character syndrome.
Okay. So you're saying that outbursts of jealousy are one of the key symptoms,
or
a sense of automatically deserving superior treatment simply on the basis of being oneself.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Are there any other symptoms or effects of this malady that the public should be aware of?
Well, yeah, see, part of the problem with having that sense of main characterness is that people forget that main characters need a lot of support. To have any singular main character, it takes an entire cast of supporting characters just to keep that character alive.
Okay.
And societies just aren't built to focus all their energy on one person like that. So if you see someone monologuing to themselves in despair or giving grand speeches of victory about friendship or anything else, people who have ridiculous amounts of luck in competitions, these people may be trying to focus a lot of their energy in these more positive aspects of main character syndrome. But, well, it just takes too much energy on any singular person's body.
Okay. So it really just saps the individual of energy, which they could use to sort of promote communal public health.
Absolutely.
It's just getting pulled in by the syndrome rather than being spread out into the community and not even benefiting the host.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. And it's a real shame, because if we had more supporting characters or even background characters, as some people negatively call them, those people have more of an opportunity to explore hobbies. They're not spending all of their time saving the world. They have better mental health. They have better relationships, because less drama caused by being the most important person in the room all the time. It's allowing yourself to fill that space that then helps you move forward. Whereas unfortunately, a lot of background or supporting characters are stuck with one main character who then saps their energy as well.
Okay.
So it's very much a parasitic relationship.
Okay. So even moving into secondary roles and support character positions won't necessarily save someone from the effects of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're in the network of someone who's suffering.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. It's a very sad reality, especially for those that get as lost in it as they can. But I do want to talk about some of the ways to fix it.
What is the treatment?
To self-heal.
Yeah, you mentioned that treatment is possible, right? You diagnose this condition in yourself, and then as, you know, a talented medical doctor with extensive personal experimental practice, you were able to perform surgery on your own self in order to address this underlying cause.
Absolutely. And it is a very invasive process, I will admit, because you have to search inside yourself without expecting some giant answer. This will not be saving the world. Huh. Yeah, this is not your hero arc.
There is
this
no is silver bullet treatment for main character
syndrome.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so with that, a lot of it is very much allowing yourself to, or forcing yourself to step back and allow someone else to take control. You do not have to be the leader of the group or the loudest talker or the funniest person. And it's allowing yourself to rest, to gather back some of that energy from those thought processes.
Okay. So it's centrally about the patient needs to be able to reorient the use of energy to avoid that energy being sucked in by this parasitic syndrome. Right.
Yeah, and the sooner that you can do that and continue to do that, the more likely you are to keep this terminal illness at bay. You'll always have moments or thoughts in which you'll think, I am meant to solve this singular problem, but it allows you to have relationships that don't sap energy so that you can all solve the problem. And solve the problem quickly and without heartbreak and sorrow along the way.
Yeah, and so how do people move from main character syndrome to the ensemble scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
That generates health, right? Moving into that different energy framework.
So I recommend, there are several, across the world and across the country as it is, support groups for main characters. And the idea is kind of, getting all of these main characters in one room and allowing them to all kind of recognize that there's no energy to feed off of in this room. And it's kind of a exposure therapy to just kind of how toxic everything is. And then from there, they're more open to finding a better place.
So how could someone who's been able to diagnose this, or especially if you're the close friend or relative of a patient who hasn't been able to self-diagnose, how do you help yourself or help those you love get to one of these support groups? Is there a hotline number people can call?
I find that the most consistent way of getting the people these help, it requires sending them on a quest, allowing them to take their journey for self-discovery or to accomplish grabbing some MacGuffin or something else.
Okay.
But by allowing them to live out some of that main character energy, by the time they get there, they're kind of already at a low enough place to be willing to accept this help.
Interesting. So you're saying that, like, through group involvement in acting out narratives with other characters, that's a main form of treatment for someone who in their own life has an overblown sense of character.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. So game shops, comic stores, libraries, these might all be good places.
Yes, and in fact, we, in a lot of our therapy, we use Dungeons and Dragons as a safe way for people to be able to utilize that main character syndrome. We have several dungeon masters on call at any given time, and they each choose patients and go on these weekly adventures. And we find that that consistency allows them to live the rest of their lives in a far healthier and I hate to say normal, but a far more accepted manner, for sure.
Well, it seems like crucially part of the treatment is getting these groups where each of the main characters realizes that they're also the collaborative character to someone else's narrative.
Yes, and we try to encourage and explain how fulfilling it is to be someone else's background character or someone's supporting character, and just how important those roles truly are.
Okay.
It's a very healthy mile in someone else's shoes, and just kind of a wake up call for a lot of these patients, for sure.
Yeah, are there any other sources of treatment? That's obviously for a fairly advanced case.
Mm-hmm. We find reading also actively helps, as they kind of get to push off their own main character syndrome on a fictional main character and go on these adventures with them without any real choice in the choices that are made for a little bit more aggressive.
So the lack of control is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We find choose your own adventure books are also very helpful.
Uh-huh. Where they give, that's for someone who has a more advanced case and needs the sense of control emotionally to
absolutely.
Be moving the narrative forward.
So we use a lot of literature.
Okay.
We also find that comic books are helpful for those that believe they need to save everyone, because comic books often have a lot of consequences for people who spread themselves too thin. So you kind of get that visual aspect.
Huh. Both in terms of heroes and villains, right? We can see that they're both strained.
There's a balance that needs to be had.
Okay.
We also use a lot of musical theater, especially playlists and song lists. We find that theater is really good at showing consequences and the auditory effects of heroes that believe in themselves too much or don't believe enough, and so on and so forth.
So maybe like seeing tragedy, right, when we see the consequences of someone sucking all the energy into themselves, that releases us from some of the tendency to go in the same direction.
Right? Absolutely. And I mean, Hamlet for sure is a very old but very well-known kind of ancient treatment to the very first couple of cases of main character syndrome. Yeah, it's very fascinating. Some of the things that used Gilgamesh was also used often. And mythology was by far one of the first treatments for sure.
Okay, so this is a syndrome that's existed among humans for millennia, you're saying?
Absolutely. We, of course, have only kind of recently put a name to it. Just like post-traumatic stress syndrome was shell shock back in a terrible time, it's now kind of come in more to itself. Yeah. And it's definitely gotten worse and has needed more attention and naming, for sure.
Okay, yeah. But you do think there's hope for those who themselves are diagnosed with this? It's not the terminal disease we previously thought.
Oh, there's absolutely hope. As long as we stay up to date on our treatments and on actively staying humble and aware of others, there will always be hope. And that plays heavily into a lot of the media and music that we share with these people. There's always hope to change.
Okay. And for those whose lives are adversely affected by another main character, what are the opportunities for them?
It sounds a bit counterproductive or intuitive, but we encourage people that are stuck kind of in this toxic cycle with main characters to go and have your own adventure, to kind of separate and recognize that you are a person with a story, even if they don't believe that your story matters to theirs.
Okay, so individuation of narrative.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Now, and does that separation seem to help people with the weight they're carrying from serving in this secondary draining role?
Absolutely. We find that supporting characters, there's a reason that they kind of come in and out of main characters' lives as often as they do. It's very much a recharging of the self that occurs often, and it allows them time to go and meet with friends, family, other relationships, or even sometimes becoming a part of a band of another set of side characters or background characters. Okay. And that time is important and needs to be actively catered to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we've obviously been addressing how to deal with this ongoing pandemic globally. So I have two more questions related to that. The first is, are there any ways to sort of shelter oneself from main character syndrome? Or is it just at this point so widespread that it's impossible to protect oneself from
personally? I believe that we are to a critical point in which everyone has, at the very least, a little bit of main character syndrome.
Okay.
Now, whether that syndrome actively begins to grow and spread inside of you is very much up to the individual person, which is why we encourage self-diagnosis regularly. However, I think there is always a chance to fix this. And I believe that the best way to do so is to keep a healthy amount of literature, theater, and the arts in your life, and allowing yourself to learn what it means to be a hero and what it means to be a supporting character, and then living your life according.
Now this seems somewhat contradictory, because at the beginning you told us that this is obviously transmitted through media representation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we properly balance to make sure that the media that we're consuming don't just further the syndrome, that they actually counter it?
So that is a very good point and a very important distinction. So the media I am referring to is often, I guess, the most popular or even considered more childish in its effects. I guess a good example would be the recent Marvel movie, superhero movies, and how they focus more heavily on only two major characters and how those characters are flat and cardboard like. It's a dangerous idea to believe that those are anything more than simply entertainment. recommend maybe some older movies, or even just watching them with a very large sense of discernment and skepticism to just how truly good others believe they are, and to avoid echo chambers for sure of people just constantly speaking praise of one individual or only yourself
or groups. So you're saying that like even news media can foster main character syndrome when it convinces you that you're in like fundamental conflict with enemies you have to vanquish.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a thing, is everyone believes, well, not my media. Well, that's a start to begin with, is that if you believe you have a singular media, well, then you're already kind of caught into the cycle.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So as soon as you're starting to divide out and say, this is the stuff that's right for me and that's good, and everything else is the bad and dangerous stuff, that's in fact actually a key warning sign. One is in the grip of the syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Because once you start dividing things into us and them, then you're more likely to divide you and me. Huh. And it's that focusing that on dividing that then really kicks off the dangerous symptoms.
Hmm. Okay. Now that we've addressed that, and that we are living in a world where everyone has been exposed to main character syndrome, mm-hmm. and is carrying the, you know, disease vector within their own identity, right? We all identify as individuals, and that's what makes us susceptible to main character syndrome. Do you have, you told us that there is hope in terms of treatment, that we can sort of live with continuous treatment. Do you believe there's such a thing as a possibility for a global cure, right? For a world beyond main character syndrome?
That's a very interesting idea, and I certainly hope so. We find that too much of any good thing is a bad thing, and because everyone is so individual-esque, it's hard to say there's any one cure, but I certainly hope so. I believe that we're definitely coming to more of a growing place, and a place that's more encouraging of growth. Okay. But I don't believe we're quite there yet.
Okay, so but as we become more aware of the needs and lives and emotions of people other than ourselves, that is able to serve as an important check to the further spread of the syndrome.
Yes, absolutely. It'll be a slow change, but we find that people who make the change themselves, when or if they have children, are able to pass that knowledge down, and it nips everything in the bud. So it's really more of a continued effort, for sure.
Okay, yeah. But so it is something, like you were saying, there was originally serious concerns that it passed from parent to child. And there does seem to be some pattern there, but it can also, the reverse can be true, that the behaviors that serve as protections against overblown main character syndrome can also be passed on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If there is a negative ability, there is also a positive ability as well.
Yeah, and so is that also passed sonically primarily?
Yes, it is. We find that the power of the voice, and especially of a respected adult to a younger individual, has some of the most powerful ability to change the symptoms of or the very disease itself. Okay. We have power to mutate things for good or for bad.
And so do you think this can even have a sonic effect? Can the treatment be also spread from friend to friend by those who have recognized it and are in treatment but see the syndrome in others? What are ways that they can sonically spread that treatment and recover?
We find that the best way is to be a true friend, to acknowledge positives in positive situations, but to not be afraid to kind of call your friend into question, right? To kind of let them know that they're being a main character. And sometimes if it's what's needed, that friend should get distance and allow okay. their main character friend to know that they are taking too much energy. Ultimately, it's always going to be more helpful to fix this in groups, but so feel free to call one of the hotlines and ask for help, or we also have a website as well.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us here today to address this massive public health crisis. I am so grateful to hear that there are treatment options. This isn't as destructive. Well, that it is as destructive as we initially feared, but that there are treatments available that individuals can even use on their own case. So that they can redevelop healthy relationships with those around them and with their communities. That's just, it's such a relief to know that.
Yeah, thank you for having me, for sure.
Yeah. So to all of you listening, please consider the self-diagnostic test. It's always best to address main character syndrome early, right? Before it's reached one of the expansive later stages. But as the doctor has said, there is hope. There is hope. If you have been able to diagnose it, there is always hope that quick action and thorough action can bring that fully into remission.
Yes, absolutely. Get it early and get it quickly, for sure.